Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show, live in the Online Trading Academy studio. Last month, many local Jews, and I was one of them, took issue with an event defending Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. It was called Intersectional Dialogue on Weaponizing Charges of Antisemitism. And it claims, according to the Facebook page, quote, charges of antisemitism are being weaponized to specifically target powerful black and Muslim leaders. Now, one of the panelists of that event is my next guest. Anila Afzali is the executive director of the American Muslim Empowerment Network at the Muslim Association of Puget Sound, also known as MAPS. And she joined me live in studio. Thanks for coming down.
Thanks for having me, Jason.
So let's talk specifically about this event, and then we can maybe branch out into a whole other stuff. I believe Ilhan Omar is an anti-Semite. And I believe that because she routinely uses anti-Semitic caricatures and tropes when talking about Israel, when talking about Jews. I know you do not believe that. So tell me, do you think, in my view, do you think I am saying that to target her on the basis of her being a Muslim woman of color?
So first off, Jason, thank you for having me.
Of course.
And I want to make sure that that your listeners understand who I am. You and I have a little bit of background. You know that I have participated in the Freedom Series here mm-hmm. before. I'm a big proponent of dialogue, of engaging in this kind of discussion.
And that's why you're here.
That's exactly why I'm here, and I'm happy to be here to have this kind of conversation. You or your listeners may not know that I'm an attorney who actually mm-hmm. left my legal career because I cared so much about the bridge-building work that I'm doing now. I'm a firm believer in service and pursuing knowledge, and I actually left my successful legal career in order to address the growing divide in our country, the growing divide that was even leading to violence and hate, and something that really bothered me. So now what I'm doing, and I'm excited and blessed to be able to do this, is to go around and build bridges of understanding and unity. And I firmly believe in God, family, and country. And my values, just like with many American Muslims across our nation, they drive the work that I do about love over hate, about actual facts over fiction, mm-hmm. and about faith over fear. And that's what I'm involved in.
Let's talk about something that was certainly not creating the unity in certain parts of the city, right? I mean, not everybody liked this. Most Jewish people here that I spoke to and in the community were very upset, including a lot of organizations that represent the Jewish community.
We actually did have Jewish organizers as part of the event. We had Jewish panelists, of course, and you know, people you may disagree with, and that's okay.
Well, to be clear, the people on the panel support BDS, which is very widely seen by Jews as an anti-Semitic movement, and they don't support the current independent state of Israel. They represent a
very small... I would disagree with that characterization of their views.
That's what they say. But they certainly you would acknowledge that they represent a smaller percentage of American Jews than not, right?
I would agree with that. And I would say that's part of why we wanted to have this kind of event, this kind of dialogue, an intersectional dialogue, where we actually allow for voices that are not the ones that you normally hear. You know, people like you, you have a platform. Mm-hmm. You're able to get your message out. There are multiple events. In fact, I think around the time of our event, there were 12 different events that we counted that were on anti-Semitism, put on by more mainstream organizations that I think you would agree are more mainstream organizations like the ADL or others. Mm-hmm. So there are plenty of other platforms and opportunities for some of those other dialogues to happen. Part of what our critique is that there are voices that are often being silenced or not listened to. And that's part of what we wanted to do, is to give a platform and allow for an opportunity to have a discussion about something that was happening. And that's why we had those specific people. And I will just also add, Jason, part of what happened is that Rabbi David Bassior, who was a fellow panelist, he and I both noticed something that we found very problematic, which was the constant attacks. And regardless of what you think about Representative Ilhan Omar's comments, I will add that there are a lot of Jews who disagree with your view on that, and that's okay. But regardless of what you think about that, there is no doubt objectively that she has gotten far more media attention than many other people who make worse, you know, anti-Semitic comments. And that's something that I can give you in Congress. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Kevin McCarthy, Steve Scalise, Lou Gohmert. You know, there are plenty of people
yeah.
I can identify and give you the statements even.
I would love to, because no, yeah. you don't even have to give me the statements, because people mm-hmm. listen to the show and I call them out all the time. I think okay. Steve Scalise, for example, is an uh-huh. embarrassment. Uh-huh. I'm glad that he was stripped of his duties on the House committee that he was a part of after the latest bit. I think we took way too long in order to get Louie Gohmert is a crazy person from Texas.
Hold on. I think you're talking about Steve King.
Steve King. Sorry. Yeah, yeah. Yes. Steve King. That's who I'm talking about. But he was one of the people who has made several horrible statements.
Yep. For years.
Absolutely. And I think that we waited too long in order to do that.
I agree.
I fear that the Democratic Party is going to wait too long to do something with Ilhan Omar. And so, but I want to go back to my original question, which you didn't answer. Do you think I personally am taking the position that she is an anti-Semite, not based on what I hear coming out of her mouth or via Twitter, but because I want to silence her because she is a Muslim woman of color?
I think you are making the allegations that she's making these anti-Semitic comments in part because she does not support Israel in the way you want her to support, right? And because she has made statements that suggest she is a supporter of the BDS movement, which is different
from— She is a supporter of the BDS movement. She's come out pretty strongly. Okay.
Yeah. So I think those are what's driving the perspective oftentimes of these, because oftentimes what people do, and I've heard you do this too, Jason, and again, I can disagree with you and still like you. I do like you, actually.
I'm very likable.
Yeah, well, I may disagree with some of what you say, like, you know, how you're so humble and so gorgeous, but I'm kidding, of course.
With her.
But
oh, shut up, Tom.
Thank you, Tom. But seriously, I think that the disagreement over Israel, that our country has not had enough of a space to allow for that dialogue over different views being expressed over Israel. Now, we can disagree on Israeli state policy. And I think oftentimes what people do, and I've heard you do this, Jason, is they will not use her actual statements, not play her actual, you know, audio of her speeches or statements, and instead characterize what she says and often characterize it in a way that accuses all Jews or makes it appear that she was talking about Jews when she's doing things that are very mainstream for progressive movements, including challenging all money in politics, you know, from whatever source, whether AIPAC money, Saudi Arabia lobby, NRA,
Big Pharma. Do you think she ever gets into anti-Semitic caricatures? Do you think any of the language that she uses, any of the tropes that come up, are you saying that they're not tropes, or are you saying that maybe she doesn't intend it?
I'm saying that there are absolutely anti-Semitic tropes that exist that have been detrimental, that have been detrimental to the Jewish community throughout history and today.
Like what?
And I don't want to repeat them. I'm not in favor of often repeating things that are negative. So I actually don't want to repeat negative anti-Semitic
tropes. Do you
think
she's used some of them?
I believe that she has said things that people have characterized as anti-Semitic tropes.
So you don't think that they were used as anti-Semitic tropes when she's used them?
I don't think she was being anti-Semitic. I don't think she has anti-Jewish sentiments. I think she has come out. She's an op-ed with a Jewish congresswoman. She has come out actually even in support of a two-state solution to the Palestine-Israeli conflict.
She's also been called out by Jewish congresspeople on the Democratic side.
And she has apologized.
Why did she apologize?
She has apologized because of any kind of impact on her Jewish constituents or Jews for that matter, because she understands as an American Muslim woman who wears hijab, who is black, who is a refugee, she understands more than others the impact of sort of these kinds of stereotypes on people. She understands the impact of people engaging in hate crimes against you. She has been, you know, the recipient of death threats and attacks. So she understands the importance of promoting and upholding religious freedom for all. And I believe she is against, and I've heard her speak when she came here, for instance, I believe she is against anti-Semitism. I believe she's against Islamophobia, racism, all of that. And she has made that clear in multiple interviews that often don't get attention. And that's part of the critique, right? Is that the different kind of attention paid to
certain
comments that are taken out of context.
With respect, I'll push back at that as someone who works in the media. Okay. Her apology was absolutely covered. Maybe you didn't like some of the coverage because it was rejected by a lot of folks, myself included, because I believe at a certain age, if you're a congressperson, you probably know some of the anti-Semitic tropes and saying Israel has hypnotized the world and that we have foreign allegiance to a foreign country. That's been used for decades.
And I disagree with those tropes that have been detrimental, again, to our Jewish siblings. And I also understand the history of anti-Semitism and sort of the continuing impact of it today. And we're seeing this with the direct attacks on Jewish communities, on Muslim communities. You know, a lot of the people that hate our Jewish siblings also hate me as an American Muslim woman who wears hijab, right? They're the very same kinds of people
who are
directly—
Yeah, they're fringe crazy people.
They're directly killing people. You know, within the Muslim community, they're attacking mosques and killing people and doing the same thing with the Jewish community. And I think it's incumbent on us to stand together against those forces that are threatening all of us. And that was the point of our May 2nd
and
event.
I would argue that, because I love the idea of Muslims and Jews and mm-hmm. everybody else coming together to fight back against hate.
Yes.
I would argue that when you embrace someone like Ilhan Omar, you're making it impossible. Because I want nothing to do with a side that's going to defend someone like Ilhan Omar and some of the comments that have been made. Well, I mean, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, well, let me ask you, have you also held that same standard to President Trump, for instance?
On what?
On his repeated, I'll give you example after example of him sort of making Jewish joke after Jewish joke, for instance, about money, using some of these tropes, whether it's talking about how the caravan started, and he talked about power-hungry globalists. You know what a globalist is, mm-hmm. right? That's what he said. When he was talking to the Jewish coalition, the Republican Jewish coalition, he specifically talked about them renegotiating deals and said that, is there anybody that doesn't renegotiate deals in this room? This room renegotiates it perhaps more than any other room I've been in. And he got a standing applause. You know, he got a standing
you're conflating what I would argue, and then I'll give you the last word, then we'll take a break and we'll continue this conversation.
Yes.
So you're conflating something that I think has nefarious intent in demonizing Israel, because Ilhan Omar, to your point, does not take a pro-Israel position, at least as we currently talk about it. She's more pro-Palestinian. Would that be a fair...
No, I would say she takes a pro-human rights position.
Okay.
And justice
Which
demands
then,
that, not
except against, except against Palestinian terrorists who terrorize Israel.
No, she is against all forms of violence.
But you've got... Well, she's not against all forms of violence. I mean, she certainly made positions of downplaying what some terrorists do by comparing it to America. They have certainly made these points of Israeli apartheid, which isn't occurring. She's made points that demonize...
Jewish community members who have also made those same points.
Yes, there is a small percentage of Jews who make that point.
Largest growing organization is Jewish Voice for Peace. Largest growing Jewish organization in our country. And there's a growing divide. And you know this. There's the younger generation is far more inclined to be critical of the ongoing human rights abuses and violations of international law by the state of Israel.
Do you think
that's something that, honestly, we should all critique, because it hurts all of us
as Americans. But she only critiques one side, does she not?
No, she does not. She continuously attacks all forces. She attacks, like I said, she's attacked Saudi Arabia. Does that
Does
make
she
her
attack
an Islamophobe? She has condemned their violence. Yes, she...
I'm looking directly at a tweet that she put out there, and this was at the... I can't remember if it was the last instance, because it happens so often between Hamas and specifically the Gazans firing first at Israel. And she made a point that how many more protesters must be shot, rockets must be fired, and little kids must be killed until the endless cycle of violence ends. The status quo of occupation and humanitarian crisis in Gaza is unsustainable. Only real justice can bring about security and lasting peace. Now, let's be very clear about the individual, a pregnant woman, a pregnant Palestinian, was actually killed. But it wasn't from Israeli rockets. It was actually from a misfired rocket coming from Hamas. Now, I don't hear her coming after Hamas. I hear her talking about an occupation. Is she arguing, in your view, that Hamas is not, or that it's Israel that's occupying Gaza, or Hamas?
Let me put it this way. Any form of violence, whether it comes from a state or individual organizations, is something that I absolutely stand against. This is something
not
that
not
I believe.
You. I'm, and
no,
I'm
no,
not
I,
holding
I,
you.
I,
yeah.
I
hope you don't hold those views.
No, absolutely. I do not support violence of any nature. And I think the same is true for Ilhan, Representative Ilhan Omar. I believe what happens is people often take any kind of criticism of the state of Israel and turn it into, before we even get to the dialogue, it's attacking the event. And, you know, honestly, some of the attacks
because
that we
Because
got,
I haven't heard anything specifically about policy.
Oh, this,
I've heard attacks about, again, dual loyalty and all those things. I haven't heard anything specifically talking about policy.
Okay, so I can talk about policy, but I also want to, Jason, and I want to make this offer and request, let's have actual dialogue on policy, because I think that's more important than using these ad hominem or other forms of attack that really are often used
to silence
dissent. Let
us have a policy discussion.
Yes, let's make it
happen. And we'll talk about what's actually happening in this region right now when we come back. But first, we're going to take a quick break. We're talking with Anila Afzali. She is with MAPS. That's the Muslim Association of Puget Sound. She is the executive director of the American Muslim Empowerment Network. You're listening to The Jason Rant Show. We've got more when we come back right here on AM 770 KTTH. Welcome back to The Jason Rant Show live in the Online Trading Academy studio. Anila Afzali joins me in studio. She's the executive director of the American Muslim Empowerment Network. over at the Muslim Association of the Puget Sound. Let's continue this conversation. And one question that I always have and I throw out there, and I've had these sort of discussions before, and it helps set a baseline.
Mm-hmm.
Do you look at Hamas as a terrorist organization?
I have no affinity whatsoever to Hamas.
No. And I'm not saying that. But I think that makes, I think, the conversation about what's going on in the region a lot easier. Because
So here's my problem with that question. And I see it also in the context here in our own country, too, is people, particularly American Muslims, are often asked to condemn organizations using this T word. And it is used as an anti-Muslim slur, and it perpetuates anti-Muslim stereotypes, including against people who look like me, who are literally facing attack. That's why I stay away from that word entirely. But I am absolutely against.
Well, then how do you view Hamas?
I'm against violence by any organization or individual.
Do you think
they're
the same,
though,
as Israel?
If Hamas engages in violence, I'm opposed to that, just like I'm opposed to Israeli violence in the West Bank or Gaza or elsewhere, for that matter.
So here's why that's problematic.
Hold on. And I'm also opposed to it with Saudi Arabia and Yemen, and I've condemned that. And
but you condemn white nationalism.
Yes, I do.
As do I. And mm-hmm. Do you say that you're not, should I not do it because I don't want white people to feel like they might be thrown out and lumped in? I think most people
that's a false equivalency.
Why?
Jason, because white people in our country are a majority. There's not a direct attack on people for being white. And that's the opposite is true for American Muslims who have seen an increase in hate crimes. The mosque that I'm with, we've had our sign vandalized. We've had attacks. We've had death threats even. Ilhan Omar and her mosque have been attacked. Their numbers are just shooting through the roof, both with anti-Muslim attacks, with anti-Jewish attacks. You know, we're seeing by white nationalists. We're seeing this. And the conversation turns to American Muslims or black leaders who stand in support of Palestinians. Palestinian human rights. And you can stand in support of human rights for all people, which is what I do, you know, whether they're Jewish, whether they're Palestinian, whether they're Muslim, whether they're Christian, and regardless of race. And that's sort of a human rights perspective that should be upheld by everybody. Like, I don't think there should be any doubt. Like, I assume that you stand for human rights for all. Jason, is that true? I assume that you also would support our free speech rights as Americans, both to criticize any nation state and including our own government, which I've done, I believe you've done, and I think that should be a no-brainer. But unfortunately, some of this gets confused with things even at a national level where we're having the Senate, for instance, with the first bill that they passed is a bill to infringe on Americans' free speech rights.
But your position when we're talking about Hamas and Israel, for example, and violence, and you condemn violence, period.
Yes.
But if a terrorist organization, let's not even say it's Hamas, it's a random terrorist organization in Canada, they go ahead and send a rocket over into Washington State, and then we decide to retaliate with rockets by trying to go after the terrorist organization on the other side. You would say the two are equally bad?
I am not conflating different forms of violence. I am not conflating.
What do you call what Hamas is doing then in Gaza?
Here's the reality. I would.
That's the one thing. That's literally the one thing I think that stands in the way of a lot of understanding in this region. Is it seems like there's this lack of acceptance that Hamas is a terrorist organization, which is how it's viewed by this country and others.
Okay, so again, I oppose using the T word for any individual. I'm not
period.
Even a period. Any individual or group, because it's used as an anti-Muslim slur. That's my point. That's why I'm opposed to the characterization that you've made. Not for any other reason, not because I'm supporting. As I've said, I've made it very clear. I oppose violence in all its forms. And I don't think it's helpful to have these kinds of, basically what you're suggesting, which is you have to condemn this before we can have a dialogue. I would much rather
We're
talk about
We're clearly having
issues.
A dialogue. I'm saying what's getting in the way
yes.
is not calling it exactly what it is. Because the problem I have then, it paints this picture of Israel going after peaceful Palestinians when that's not what's happening.
Well, there have been attacks, disproportionate levels of attacks on civilians as well by the state of Israel.
Because Hamas ends up putting their missiles, and this is according to the UN, not just like a crazy blog, they decide to put their missiles in spots next to hospitals, next to schools. Israel holds off as best as they can until they can anymore, because at one point, I think we would agree, you have to defend yourself.
Yeah, Jason, we're going to disagree on the politics, and that's okay.
Like but I said, I honestly don't think that is political. That is what they do.
We're going to disagree on what's happening there. I can give you many sources that dispute what you're describing.
And I'll give you again, 30 seconds because we've run out of time. And you and I said we're going to do an actual discussion in the pub, but I'll give you the last word, 20 seconds.
I would just say that anti-Semitism is an ugly form of racism, as is Islamophobia, as is anti-Black racism and xenophobia in general. And unfortunately, many people, particularly on the right, are ignoring the actual source of threat to all of us that often comes from white supremacists that are literally attacking and killing us, and instead focus on bad tweets, poor tweets from individual people rather than the actual source of the violence and threat.
I'm going to continue this conversation tomorrow. It's the Jason Rantz Show.